Hello and welcome to The Evaluator, a podcast by the Independent Evaluation Unit, IEU, of the Green Climate Fund, GCF. I'm your host, Yeonji Kim, Communications Officer at the IEU. In this episode of The Evaluator, we talk about a special financial mechanism under the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, or UNFCCC, which has been set up to finance activities that help protect and preserve national forests. Now, this concept is called reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation, and in short, RED, that is R-E-D-D. Within the UNFCCC ecosystem that includes the Green Climate Fund, stakeholders refer to this financial mechanism as RED Plus, which encompasses activities that aim to conserve forest carbon stocks and enhance sustainable management of forests. Today's episode features two renowned RED Plus experts, Ms. Maria Garcia Espinoza, who is Senior Policy Advisor at Climate Law and Policy, and Mr. Pierre Guedes, Senior Climate Finance Specialist at the International Fund for Agricultural Development, or IFAD. Maria, who worked in the RED Plus sphere for the past 11 years, was part of the UNFCCC negotiations process on RED Plus as a former country negotiator representing Ecuador. And she saw through the conclusion of a set of RED Plus related safeguards under the convention, UNFCCC, which became known as the Cancun Safeguards. Now, while Maria was a country negotiator in the UNFCCC process, Pierre supported a number of Latin American countries through the entire cycle of RED Plus, as defined by the UNFCCC, in his capacity as a technical advisor for RED Plus at the UNDP Regional Center for Latin America and the Caribbean. It is great to have you both, Maria and Pierre. Let's cut to the chase. Maria, what is RED Plus?
RED Plus was designed as a financial mechanism under the Climate Change Convention, and it aims to reward policies and positive incentives on the ground in developing countries to protect and restore natural forests and their biodiversity. So RED Plus, well, it's not officially an acronym under the UNFCCC, it's just the way that we refer to it. It refers to these positive incentives and policies to reduce emissions from deforestation and forest degradation, and also the role that forest conservation, sustainable forest management, and enhancement of forest carbon stocks, like through restoration, the role that it has in mitigating climate change.
And how does RED Plus go hand in hand with results-based payments, or RBPs?
The interesting feature about RED is that it is a results-based payments mechanism, financial mechanism. And this means that payments are directly linked, or financial contributions are directly linked to verified results from recipient countries. In this case, results are known as the mitigation outcomes. So it is the amount of emission reductions or carbon sequestration that a country has been able to demonstrate. It is duly measured against a benchmark, which is what we refer to as a reference level. And it is expressed, each one of the RED results is expressed in a ton of carbon dioxide equivalent per year. So for each one of those tons of those RED outcomes is for which countries would be seeking for results-based payments. So that is the complexity of this financial mechanism, and that is how it has been conceived under the UNFCCC. How it is implemented in countries, it will change very significantly depending on each one of the drivers of deforestation and the dynamics that countries have.
Let's pause for a bit here. Now let's try to bring the Green Climate Fund, GCF, into the bigger picture of RED Plus under UNFCCC. How did the GCF become a player in the world of RED Plus?
One of the COP decisions gives a specific mandate to the GCF to create this specific results-based payments window for RED. in recognizing that, that the GCA is, as a financial mechanism of the convention, has this key role in providing results-based payments for countries. And one interesting thing that, that this decision that gives a mandate to the GCF does is that it requests the GCF to systematically apply the methodological guidance that has been provided by the COP when providing results-based payments. So for instance, that's when it links the verification process under the UNFCCC to the payments under the Green Climate Fund.
Thanks, Maria. So to summarize, the Conference of the Parties to UNFCCC gave the GCF a mandate to launch a Red Plus window, and the GCF did so. In fact, the GCF board approved the launch of a Red Plus results-based payments pilot under the GCF's request for proposals modality. Meanwhile, UNFCCC defines that the implementation of Red Plus activities is to be governed by a set of guidelines or safeguards, which were agreed at the 16th Conference of the Parties held in Cancun, Mexico. And these safeguards came to be known as the Cancun safeguards, as they were agreed at COP16 held at Cancun in 2020. Maria, could you tell us more about the Cancun safeguards?
Cancun safeguards are basically a principle-based framework of social, environmental, and social and governance issues that they need to be addressed and respected throughout RED implementation. So it means that they need to be considered during the design of RED strategies, during the implementation, and then reported when countries are seeking to access to results-based financing. The other interesting thing about the Cancun safeguards is that COP decisions clearly state that all Cancun safeguards need to be addressed and respected all the time. Like they, all of them, it's not like you can choose one which you is triggered or which not. Like countries need to report on all of them all the time. And this is regardless of the source or type of funding. Countries need to respect these safeguards regardless of how they are funding the RED implementation. The interesting feature about Cancun safeguards, of course, is that this RED as a framework has been designed from a programmatic perspective. It is meant to be implemented at the national level. So, of course, this is it's a key feature that distinguishes Cancun safeguards from traditional safeguards that apply to project-scale interventions.
Interesting. For our listeners, the Cancun safeguards consist of a list of principles that countries must uphold and respect when conducting RED Plus activities. And these include things like being consistent with the objectives of national forest programs and relevant international conventions and agreements, involving relevant stakeholders in the process fully and effectively, respecting the rights of indigenous peoples, and conserving natural forests and biodiversity. And as Maria pointed out, these safeguards are to be addressed and respected as a whole throughout the RED Plus implementation. To be eligible for any RED Plus funding, regardless of the source of funding, a national-level safeguards information system, or SIS, needs to be put in place. And what's more, summaries of safeguards information need to be produced periodically for reporting purposes. So Maria, this means that for RED Plus participating countries, measurement and reporting becomes very important, as RED Plus is a results-based payment mechanism, right?
It's all these different efforts that could be through policies to protect natural areas, to protect forests, or also in some of the countries, what is happening in the reality is that they are implementing changes in their legislation or in their subsidies, in their economic systems, to make sure that agriculture is deforestation-free, that agricultural production goes through certification so that it's not posing a risk of deforestation on natural forests. In other countries, it might be that countries might be restoring degraded landscapes so that they can capture more, like sequester more carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Because at the end of the day, as I was saying, despite of the different ways in which countries can implement RED, In order to access to results-based payments, what they need to demonstrate is outcomes. And these outcomes are measured in tons of carbon dioxide.
Thank you. In short, it is up to the countries to decide on how to implement REDD+ and adhere to the Cancun safeguards at the national level. For instance, they can institute a new legislation or introduce a new economic measure. So it is up to them. But what's really important is that the countries, at the end of the day, need to demonstrate its outcomes measured in tons of avoided carbon emissions. And Maria, other than the Cancun safeguards, I hear that there is another policy framework for REDD+ under UNFCCC. Now, this one containing methodological and technical guidance relating to the REDD+ reporting and verification processes. Could you tell us what this is?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, the Warsaw Framework for REDD is basically the name that the UNFCCC gave to the series of decisions relevant to REDD. So it basically brings together all previous decisions. The Warsaw Framework was agreed on in Warsaw, I think it was COP19. So basically when we refer to the Warsaw Framework, we're just referring not to one decision, but to all of the relevant decisions for REDD implementation and results-based payments.
Now I will turn to Pierre. Pierre, based on your experience of having supported developing countries go through the REDD+ cycle as defined by UNFCCC and helping these countries get REDD+-based payments through the GCF, the GEF, Global Environment Facility, and others, could you tell us what the REDD+ process is like today in the broader climate finance arena and whether you think it will get bigger as we move forward? What is its future outlook?
I think there is a lot of heterogeneity, regionally speaking, in terms of REDD+ readiness and I would say capacity or level of readiness of countries to access result-based payments for those who have been successful in achieving results. I have the impression or the feeling that countries in Latin America, for instance, are much more advanced compared to countries in Africa or most of the countries in Asia, with some exceptions, obviously. So as of today, I would say that the REDD+ result-based payment scheme, let's call it like that to keep it broad, is potentially a very important one. And countries have already presented a lot of results through the official, I would say, channels, the UNFCCC, etc. So results achieved by countries are there, and there are a lot of them. Recently, I saw that Vietnam released their REDD+ technical annex with their latest BOR, a couple of weeks ago, basically. And they have achieved, significant results in the last 5 years. Results which are eligible for payments. The big problem is who is going to pay for those results in Vietnam and in all the other countries. So this is, I think, the big question mark. The offer is there, but the capacity or the willingness to pay, let's say, or the capacity to pay for all the results is what is missing, in my view. The request or proposal which was launched by the GCF, I think it was in 2017, had an envelope of $500 million, and this was sufficient to cover only few of the results achieved by countries. It is largely insufficient. The GCF is not expected to cover everything, we know that. And other, for instance, countries such as Norway, UK, and others are providing result-based payments, but not to the scale which is needed to pay for all the results achieved by countries. So this is, I think, the big problem now.
On your last point about the REDD+ finance being insufficient, if the countries also see that the funding is insufficient to cover for the results that they already achieved, is there an incentive for the countries to continue to work through the REDD+ window that we have now?
It's a very good question. And I would like to know what ministries of science, agriculture, and environment, the international community and countries have invested more or less 10 years in the REDD+ readiness process since the first negotiation took place until the approval of the Warsaw Framework. Many countries have already all the requirements in place. Expectations have been created, and there is indeed this expectation of receiving result-based payments from the GCF or from other sources. If those payments are not arriving, obviously, your question is absolutely legitimate. I think that countries also understand what is going on in relation to this capacity of paying for results at the international level, but they acknowledge also the fact that REDD+ has been extremely helpful in many different ways to help them better understand the trends or the dynamics of deforestation, the importance of forest in relation to biodiversity, to livelihood, to food security, to many different co-benefits that we know very well. Thanks to the REDD+ process, they have been able to enhance their approach to safeguards. They have been able to better understand this relationship between agriculture and forestry and understand that it is not the one or the other, but there are ways to make them collaborate. So I think that this has triggered the REDD+ readiness process in itself has triggered a lot of changes in mindset, in perception, in planning processes, in prioritization of funds at national level, which are absolutely valuable.
Great. So we talked about some of the environmental and social co-benefits that come with the REDD+ process. As Pierre mentioned, REDD+ helps countries to think about not just forestry and deforestation, but also the relationship between agriculture and forestry, and the issue of food security and protection of biodiversity. Now, with that, we can segue into some of the findings from the IEU's independent assessment of the GCF's environmental and social safeguards, or ESS in short, and its Environmental and Social Management System, or ESMS in short. This evaluation was conducted in 2019, and its final report was submitted in February 2020, just in time for the 25th meeting of the GCF board, which was held in March 2020. For this evaluation, looking at the GCF's ESS and ESMS, Maria worked with the IEU as a member of the larger evaluation team. Now, the IEU's ESS evaluation report included a dedicated chapter on the GCF's REDD+ pilot program. For this, the evaluation team looked at how coherent or consistent the GCF's REDD+ pilot was with the mandate of UNFCCC and the methodological guidance that the convention provides through the Cancun Safeguards and the Warsaw Framework on REDD+. Maria, the evaluation report highlighted some of the inconsistencies, if you will, between the GCF's REDD+ pilot process and the UNFCCC guidance. So what were they?
When looking at the features of the pilot program and the different tools that they have developed to operationalize the pilot program, and looking at the guidance under the UNFCCC, we found a series of inconsistencies. The first element is that in order to operationalize a pilot program, the GCF Secretariat prepared draft terms of reference and a scorecard. In a following stage, when assessing the funding proposal, this scorecard also would look only at to what extent the summer of information has reported on all safeguards. And in doing this, what the terms of reference and the scorecard do is linking the Cancun safeguards to the non-carbon elements of the proposal. And it also includes a requirement, an additional requirement, and it is that countries need to demonstrate compliance with the GCF's interim social and environmental safeguards. So I guess this is the first thing when the pilot program is diverting slightly from the Warsaw Framework. Because it's introducing this requirement to comply also with the GCF safeguards in addition to Cancun. The second element in which we found inconsistency is in terms of the assessment and verification process. And as I was saying before, the Warsaw Framework didn't provide any kind of guidance on how or when or to assess and verify the Cancun safeguards, conformance with them. So in terms of assessing and verifying, the scorecard that the Secretariat has prepared for the pilot program relies on a binary scoring system, which is basically assessing a fail or a pass. No, and it basically unpacks all the different elements, like the eligibility criteria that the country has to meet in a pass and fail. So for instance, for the reference level and the mitigation outcomes that a country has to demonstrate, they would say, okay, has the country passed the technical assessment process under the UNFCCC? Yes or no. Has the country been successfully reported, verified, in mitigation outcomes? So yes or no. And then there is a series of considerations in that sense. In the case of Cancun safeguards, however, the only thing that this pass and fail system allows to assess is existence or not of the safeguard information system. So it's not looking at what it says or what kind of information it's collecting, how it has been designed, but it's just looking, it exists or not. And the same in the case of the safeguards reporting through the summaries of information. It's just assessing the summary of information has reporting on each one of the safeguards, yes or no, but it doesn't really analyze in any way what is the content of that reporting. So while perhaps this is not necessarily an inconsistency because there is no guidance on how to assess the safeguards under the Warsaw Framework, but there is an inconsistency on how these, like the implications that it has, because it's not really capturing that conformance with the safeguards. It's not allowing to capture the nuances that countries are reporting or whether they are making progress or whether they are failing in meeting the safeguards, because it's just capturing, is there a report or not? So that is the second key area that we looked at.
So to summarize, the GCF's Red Plus pilot requests that countries need to demonstrate their compliance with the GCF's own environmental and social safeguards, ESS, which is an additional requirement not included in the Cancun safeguards. Also, you said that the GCF's Red Plus pilot has created a scorecard to facilitate and operationalize this process. And that scorecard is a binary one, pass or fail, simply looking at whether safeguards exist or not, which does not leave room for an in-depth look into the nuanced information that the countries provide in their summaries of information. What else is there?
And the third one, it's in terms of the scope of application. So as we were discussing earlier in our conversation, the concept of REV is a nuance on its end, itself. It is linking financing to outcomes already achieved. So it is an exposed financial mechanism. So in that sense, when countries are reporting on safeguards, on the Cancun safeguards, they are reporting also on an exposed manner. To these, I don't know, if we say a country is claiming payments for the emission reductions achieved between 2010 and 2020. So that means that the summary of information is going to correspond to that same period of time. How safeguards have been addressed and respected in that period where mitigation outcomes were achieved. And that is what we have in summaries of information to date that are being reported under the UNFCCC. In the case of the pilot program, what it does, however, is that it introduces the concept of proceeds. So the pilot program is saying, okay, we're going to be paying for results that countries have already achieved and verified. So we verify that we're comfortable with those mitigation outcomes. We are going to provide financing for that. But since we are going to be providing GCF funding, we also want to make sure that it is reinvested in a way that is aligned with the GCF's priorities and objectives and principles. So that is what we refer to as the proceeds. So the way in which those results-based payments are going to be reinvested, it ensures that there is like this circular connection to climate objectives. But when it does this, it means that like this, combined with the fact that the compliance with the GCF interim standards are required, this means that countries are not only required now to report on in an ex post manner on Cancun safeguards, but that they also need to report forward-looking, that they need to conduct the regular process of doing a strategic assessment and preparing mitigation measures and so on. So it basically changes the temporal scope of application of the safeguards, and it's looking forward, and it's also applying to those activities implemented in the past.
Thank you, Maria, for these points. Now let me turn to Pierre. Pierre, what do you think about these points contained in the IU's evaluation of the GCF's environmental and social safeguards, or ESS? What are your views?
I mean, this money, countries are seeking payments for results achieved in the past. I think not to put this money in the bank. They are thinking payment to reinvest in different activities. And the fact that the GCF is focused on climate, I think, gives enough mandate for the GCF to ask countries to reinvest those result-based payments provided by the GCF into NDCs related activities, which is the case. This is one of the conditions of the request for proposal: reinvest in activities aligned with NDCs or the national Red Plus action plans. I think it was absolutely legitimate for the GCF to ask for that. And as per the UNFCCC decisions, the safeguards related to Red Plus, the Cancun safeguards, have to be applied in the three phases of Red Plus, so including result-based payments. So I think for the GCF, it is quite legitimate to ask how these payments are going to be used and how safeguards are going to be respected during the implementation of those result-based payments. It seems to me that it is in line with the spirit of the UNFCCC decisions. And we know what the payment have been using for is used for. It is a requirement of the request for proposal. So all the funding proposal presented to the GCF from Ecuador, Brazil, and later on Costa Rica, Chile, Argentina are detailing how those payments are going to be used. And this is information which is publicly available. It is available on the GCF website. I believe that the Cancun safeguards, which have been agreed and negotiated in the context of the convention, are specifically, I've been thought from, I would say, an environment landscape management perspective. When you think about displacement, when you think about those aspects, it is related very much about the technicalities of forest management and of greenhouse gases emission linked to deforestation processes. And this was negotiated in the context of the UNFCCC, so climate-oriented. Now, any donor, starting with the GCF, has its own policy related to anti-money laundering or whatsoever. There is no way a financial institution or a bilateral donor is going to provide payment without conditions. The policies that the GCF has in place have a good reason to be there. And there is nothing in the convention that says only the safeguard, the Cancun safeguard, have to apply at the time of providing payments. So I think it is not incompatible. There are additional conditions, yes, and these additional conditions defined by each donor differs donor by donor. I mean, the FCPF, the GCF, or the schemes that Norway has put in place, they all have different conditions. The complexity, I think, is for the countries to understand upfront which are going to be those conditions attached to reserve-based payment, which are indeed additional to those of the Cancun Agreement. And this is where the problem is, I think, supporting countries in understanding those different conditions and navigating this complex set of potential schemes of payment, basically. The FCPF has also provided very clearly how to work and how countries which are in the pipeline of the FCPF can access reserve-based payments. So I think these are, I mean, to me, the fact that there are different options is good because money is needed and support is needed. And I think the beauty or the good job that the GCF done was to follow the spirit of the UNFCCC agreement, to stick to that and not deviate to that, which is logical. The GCF is linked to the UNFCCC. So stick to that very, very much. And that allowed the countries who went through the REDD+ readiness process to be almost immediately ready to seek reserve-based payment from the GCF, going through a process which was absolutely clear and transparent. So to me, this is the strength of the GCF in that regard. And I do believe that it will be possible for the GCF to launch, I mean, to continue after this first result, request for proposal, because this is really the strength of the REDD+ process in my mind.
Thank you, Pierre. Here's my last question for you. Do you think the REDD+ system is sufficiently good to ensure that we do not lose as much forest cover and as rapidly? Or do you think its architecture and design could improve for better outcomes? And if so, how can it improve for the better, in your opinion?
Believing that REDD+ by itself will stop deforestation, I think is not a good assumption. It is a combination of many different factors which are going to contribute to stop deforestation. REDD+ is one piece of this, which provides to country a lot of very valuable tools, but it is a combination of different tools which have to be put in place to protect forests on the long term. Countries have a lot of responsibilities regarding their fiscal policy, for instance, or their own rules and regulation. And this is under their control, independently of the international REDD+ mechanism. And countries are not the only one having responsibility. I mean, forested countries are not the only one. I mean, look at the work done right now by the European Union or France, and the Amsterdam Declaration Group together, because they understand that Europe in general is importing a lot of deforestation in a way, or is causing a lot of deforestation in countries such as Brazil, such as Argentina and others. So there is a responsibility from European countries generating deforestation related to soy and other commodities. So these European countries are aware of that and they are trying to do themselves their own work to reduce the pressure they are putting on forests in other parts of the world. So it's not, and this is not the REDD+ mechanism per se, but it is a very important piece to protect the forest on the long term. Maybe how the REDD+ mechanism can be enhanced. I do believe that it is already quite robust. I mean, it's a very complex task to negotiate a process within the UNFCCC with all the countries, taking into account the different specificities of all the countries. I mean, a country such as Brazil and a country such as Costa Rica or a country such as Congo, for instance, they have very different realities. So the REDD+ mechanism, as it has been negotiated with the spirit of the stepwise approach, etc., is, I think, quite an amazing result. The GCF is helping the implementation of this mechanism through the different phases, the readiness process, the phase two with investment, the reserve-based payments. And I think that this needs to continue and this needs to be scaled up. This mechanism is in place. It is improvable, obviously, but it is in place. It is a result of a long period of negotiation. I do believe it is extremely robust already. can be improved, yes, but already there. So I think it's now up to the GCF, the bilateral countries, the international community, to escalate a little bit their, I would say, commitment to this mechanism to make it work really with the volume of payment which is needed to keep incentivizing countries to follow this path.
Thank you very much, Pierre and Maria, for joining the Evaluator and sharing your insights with us. It's been fascinating to hear about the REDD+ financial mechanism under the UN Climate Change Convention and how it is a result of some 20 plus years of intense negotiations. I do hope the REDD+ pilot of the GCF, as well as other bilateral or multilateral channels, will continue to serve the mitigation and adaptation needs of developing countries and reward the country's proven and dedicated results through appropriate payments. In closing, I would like to also mention that the IEU just finalized and submitted for the GCF board's consideration at the upcoming 29th meeting of the board, the rapid assessment of the GCF's requests for proposals modality. And REDD+ pilot is one of the four programs that were launched under this request for proposals or RFP modality. So you can read more about the IEU's findings about REDD+ results-based payments and the other three programs launched via the GCF's RFP modality in this rapid assessment report, which is available on the IEU's website. We will provide the links to both the RFP evaluation report as well as the ESS evaluation report on our podcast page for your reference. We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Evaluator by the Independent Evaluation Unit of the Green Climate Fund. We'll be back with more insightful and interesting dialogues that matter for the evaluation and climate action communities. So stay tuned. Remember to tweet your thoughts about the show with the hashtag TheEvaluator. That's all for now. Signing off from the IEU headquarters in Songdo, Republic of Korea. Thank you for listening.